Hi, this is Mike Swanson. I got a real special guest with me today. I've got David Morgan, who runs the website silver-investor.com. I consider it to be the top silver investing expert in the whole world. How you doing, David?
Doing well, Mike. Thank you.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me and my listeners. And I really actually think it's a real timely moment to do this interview because we've seen this crash in gold and silver prices, and people are wondering why they've crashed and what's going to happen.
Well, certainly, I think there's a lot of theories out there on the internet on why they crashed, and I think there's several reasons. I addressed it in the May issue of the Morgan Report, but I want to, you know, preface this by saying this is opinion. I don't think anyone can absolutely prove what I'm about to say, but first of all, technically, there was a very big support for gold and silver, respectively, and both of those support levels were breached at the same time on the 12th of April, 2013. For silver, and of course this is an art, not a science, Mike, as you know, and your numbers may vary from mine slightly, but basically around the 1550 level for gold, or thereabouts, and around the $26 level for silver. And I had warned my members by our updates that I do with my voice and using the charts that if those levels were breached, look out, because there wasn't any support for quite some time. And unfortunately, they were breached. I want to be clear that I felt that those levels could hold. And the reason I felt that so strongly, especially on gold, was that we'd had so many fundamental facts come out from the beginning of the year. This fact that Germany won their gold back, and the Fed basically said, sure, you can have your gold back. Just give us 7 years to do it. And then this Dutch bank that basically had physical gold investments that said, oh, no, you can't take your physical gold. You have to settle in cash. So there were several things on the gold side that were portending maybe not an imminent problem with physical gold delivery, but certainly some pretty big hints that not as all right in the physical market versus the paper fiction. And yet, that fundamental fact remains, and those are facts, not opinion, but it was not enough, let's say, to hold the metals at those levels. Because, and part of it is also factual, and that is there is no limit to the amount of paper derivatives or naked short selling that can take place in the commodities markets. Basically, you can sell as much as of anything that doesn't exist as you want, which when you think about that logically, really doesn't make any sense. But that's the way it's structured. You can't do that in the stock market, but you can do it in the commodities markets. But on the other side, on the same exchange, you're limited to the amount of physical silver that you're allowed to take off the exchange in any given delivery month. So it's sort of an uneven playing field. You can short or sell what doesn't exist to infinity, in theory. But if you want to buy the same commodity, silver in this case, you're limited to 1,500 contracts or 7.5 million ounces. So that alone, I think, if you use any logic, shows you that there is a physical limit that exists, but there is a fictional non-limit that exists. And that, of course, isn't fair. I mean, the commodities exchange, in my view, and this, of course, has been floated to the CFTC, is that it should be used as was originally intended, which means to be able to hedge the producer, be the producer of corn or wheat or metals or cocoa or sugar or whatever. And it should be revolved basically around what the physical reality is. In other words, you cannot short an infinite supply of wheat or corn or any other commodity because really it doesn't exist. And so how can you hedge off something when you can oversell something that you can never in the world, materially deliver? It just doesn't make sense. But of course, there's arguments that these big banks have with leverage to the CFTC, and they, you know, cry and whine and complain that, you know, they have the reasons why they have to have this super leverage to the downside. So probably got a little carried away on the answer. What took place? A technical breach. And the other part of my explanation was psychological. I think that a lot of people this year in 2013, what I call the transition year, are waking up to the reality that even though the mainstream press is talking about everything is wonderful. We see the stock market going up and the recovery is here and things are only going to get better from here on out. The reality is, for a lot of people, that isn't really the case. And because of that fact, I think a lot of people are starting to think outside of the box and looking toward alternative investments, certainly something that Wall Street never talks about unless it's negative, which is the precious metals markets. But when they get smashed like this, they get a lot of press in the mainstream, and they talk about how bad investing in gold would have been. That, you know, gold went from the 1550 level and hit the 13 something level, and now it's at 1400. And then they get a lot of their experts on that talk about the bull market's over and it was a bubble and all of these type of things to keep the masses away from the one asset class that has stood the test of time, and only the test of time of, you know, a few generations, but historically for basically thousands of years. I mean, the problem with gold and silver is the undereducation of the public, because they don't understand the monetary system, they don't understand the place of precious metals, and they don't understand that price really is the variable, not the metal itself. An ounce of gold and silver never changes. What changes is the amount of paper money it takes to purchase an ounce. And that is because the destruction of the currency is so pervasive and so global throughout the entire currency structure. No matter what nation state produces a piece of paper with color on it, doesn't matter. There's more and more being produced. And anyone that knows basic economics knows when there's a great supply of something, the value is low. And there's a great supply of U.S. dollars out there that's continuing to increase. It just hasn't manifested to the everyday common man to the extent that they realize what's going on. Once that realization takes place, you could see the beginning of the bull market taking off again. And certainly probably would happen before that. It could get to a point where the paper markets get so extreme that it almost becomes too late. In other words, we could get into a very big feeding frenzy to the upside on the precious metals. Already had a hint of that, and Mike, I know you're pretty smart on these markets, but you know, we already saw a 26 basis point move in the bond market for Japan. Japan has this extremely inflationary concept of 2-2-2. They want to double the money supply in 2 years and keep their interest, I think, below 2%. And this is absolute insanity, yet this is official policy. And the bond vigilantes in Japan are starting to take note of that. I think right now, with the interest rates going up as much as they have for Japanese government bonds, that they theoretically can, the interest payments alone, take basically the entire GDP to pay the debt. So these are the end times as far as a paper money scam is concerned. But again, unless you study and understand what's going on, and very few people have the time or the ability to really learn it because they're too busy doing their basic lives, to really drill down and understand, look, this is right in front of their face and why the metals are so important.
Well, you know, when I first met you, it was about 10 years ago, and gold was like $300 an ounce. Look where it's come then, and who knows how much higher it will go over the next couple of years when things begin to get really get unglued and surprise people with the currency markets. My thinking with the crash or drop we've had is pretty similar to yours. I don't know the reason why the selling happened or started, but I believe that when it broke those technical levels you mentioned, that's when it turned into a crescendo and caused a panic crash type situation. And I look back, and usually after a crash like that, a market will go sideways for about 8 weeks and then turn up and resume its bull market. So I'm kind of watching to see if that's going to happen again or happen to these markets like it has to ones in the past. It's what happened in the 1987 stock market crash, for example. I don't know. That's the model I'm using to try to understand what's happening. I don't know if that makes sense to you or if you're looking at things a different way.
Well, yeah, I'm looking at similar. I'm looking for a clearly defined bottom. I'm looking for certain levels to be breached to the upside and maintain those levels and higher on good volume. I think we're pretty near a bottom. I've told my readers, I think we haven't quite hit the ultimate bottom in these markets. There's so much physical buying, especially in gold right now, that it's certainly keeping a floor in the price right now. But I'm a little concerned that that will continue indefinitely. In other words, the summer months are historically bad for the metals markets. And all these people that are rushing, especially in Asia, to buy gold particularly, that may subside somewhat. The big factor, of course, is what are the nation states doing? I mean, what's China and Russia doing in the gold market? And of course, they've been very careful on their buying, trying to buy as much as they possibly can without disrupting the market. In other words, they want to buy like any good investor would buy, which means accumulate over time and not bid on too big a supply at any given point to raise the price. So I think they'll keep that type of modality continuing. So I think there is a floor under the gold price, particularly, and silver as well. But you know where that is. So if you want some levels, I'll be happy to tell you. I think that silver probably could get down to the $21 level briefly, maybe just intraday. I don't think you'll get below 20. For gold, it's actually, I'm a little more bearish. I think gold probably could get under the $1,300 level. Even though we have all these fundamental facts that I just outlined and these problems with gold delivery to Germany and this type of thing, even though those exist, there still are the paper markets out there that still obviously have a lot of sway in the price set. And they, I think, will continue that for some more time. But the day of reckoning is certainly ahead, and I don't think it's too far off where the derivatives price really has a lot less meaning to the physical reality.
Well, as we wrap up this interview, could you tell people where to go to get future updates on of yours for gold and silver? I mean, we've talked about 6 or 8 weeks ago, and I'm sure people want to know what you have to say every week or even more often than that.
Well, thank you, Mike. Sure. The best place to go for these type of interviews is our YouTube channel, which is Silver Guru. It's easy just to subscribe, and then any time a new interview, such as this one with Mike Swanson, repost it shortly after we do the interview, so you can listen to it on the way to work, put it, download it, or whatever you want to do. The other place for free information is our Twitter feed, which is at SilverGuru22. And lastly, there's a free e-letter that comes out on the weekend, which is on the website silver-investor.com. Just scroll to the bottom and get on our free service. It'll give you the 10 rules of silver investing and the weekly economic reports. We also give you a free trial to the Morgan Report once you get the 10 rules of silver investing to come out every 2 or 3 days, somewhere around rule 7 or 8, I believe. You'll get a one-time offer to try a subscription for 30 days. I think that covers it, Mike.
Well, thanks for taking the time to talk with me and everyone else and do a follow-up interview in a few weeks, hopefully.
Great. Thank you, Mike.